Welcome back to the ongoing violence in Syria now. There's supposed to be a ceasefire there, but there are deaths all around. UN monitors are in Syria trying to bolster the truce, but persistent violence has tarnished it. The UN says more than 9,000 people have died since at first peaceful anti-government protests started in Syria in March of 2011. The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones has been following the Syrian story from his base in Beirut, but today he's been broadcasting from Boston and joins us in our studio where he's been also casting his keen eye on American politics. We're going to ask him a little bit about that later. Owen Bennett-Jones, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
And welcome to our mothership, WBUR. And so what do you make of news today out of Syria? Activists there saying that three officials related to Bashar Assad's government have been killed, and the government saying that those killings were the work of terrorists. I mean, is this the ongoing debate?
Sure. I mean, I guess the point it makes is that there are two sides to this conflict. I think in some of the Western reporting of this, it's portrayed, and much to the irritation of government supporters in Syria, of whom there are quite a few, that this is solely a case of the government repressing the people. I mean, you make the very good point that at the beginning, the protests against the government were peaceful, and that is very much my impression. I was covering that from Beirut at the time, that there were great efforts made by the opposition to make their protests without the use of force, and also, in fact, were quite moderate political demands, really just asking for reform rather than overthrow of the regime. That's all changed, and there is now a conflict which involves two sides, and there will be deaths on both sides. I mean, the government feels that the Western reporters tend not to cover the number of army personnel, police personnel, others who are on the government side who are killed in this. There's also a sectarian element to it. So just from that point of view, victims, that we only see one side of it. But, the fact is it is a two-sided conflict, and we've just got more evidence of that today.
Well, but the on the activist side, they're saying that government troops are still going through towns, pulling families, children out of homes, lining them up, killing them.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the evidence for that is very strong. I mean, I've watched these YouTube videos. I mean, one of the amazing things about this conflict was that the government was completely thrown off balance by the opposition's information campaign, obviously being prepared in advance. They had a lot of cameras out there. Somehow, I'm told they're, in many cases, put in people's pens, which they can sort of wear very discreetly. And those were all in place even when the protests were peaceful. And so there was this extraordinary grabbing of the narrative by the opposition, who just put these films out day in, day out. Mm. The government was left feebly saying that they were fake, which they obviously weren't. And you can just see the people on the streets being shot and murdered. And it's a very compelling part of, winning over world opinion.
Well, this is part of why the Obama administration is looking to restrict the sale of this technology to the government in Syria so that they don't have that same technology, which has been so important.
Well, the technology, I think that's referring to the technology to sort of control the population,
right,
through the use of information technology. Sure. Yeah, I mean, there is, a fierce conflict going on.
Is it civil war?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I mean, there's a sectarian element to it, and there is an ideological element to it. One thing that the Western reporting probably doesn't show up very much is the nature of the opposition. And, people project and all the rest of it, and they want to see the opposition, which some are, as secular, democratic, civil liberty types. And, I've met many students who are in that category, who are basically very Western-minded and extremely brave and going out day in, day out, to risking their lives to make their point. However, there is a significant element of the opposition which is motivated very differently by radical Islam. Now, of course, radical Islamists can be opposed to tyranny just like anybody else, but the question is that if they got into power, what would they do? And, they wouldn't see themselves as tyrants, but no doubt they would have a regime that certainly many of the pro-Western elements in Syria and certainly the West wouldn't like. So, yeah, there are these different elements to the opposition.
Well, so you say there's more to the anti-government forces than sometimes is reported, or maybe sometimes supporters of the activists want to see. And Time magazine reported yesterday that one of the most wanted terrorists in Lebanon was killed in Syria on Sunday. He died when the bomb he was planting exploded prematurely. He was thought to belong to a Sunni fundamentalist group called Fatah al-Islam. Does this make your point?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I read that article too. Yeah, I mean, if the image of the opposition were that it is an al-Qaeda-related group, of Fatah al-Islam, over the years has been said to be connected to al-Qaeda. So is this an al-Qaeda insurgency? Is that what the West is backing? No, I mean, it is not entirely. I wouldn't say even a small proportion is al-Qaeda, but that element is there. And, it ranges all the way to people basically fighting on the same side who are, you know, totally Western-minded, feminist, young students. So they're, and I remember I had a conversation in Dubai recently with such a young student who was pretty depressed by what was happening and said, look, you know, we actually started this fight. The religious lot have hijacked it. And who's going to end up in charge? It'll be them. And she was describing going to protests in southern Damascus, or suburbs of Damascus, where she was segregated in a protest. She said, well, hang on, that's not my protest. I don't want to be segregated. I don't want a men on one side, women on one side protest. And they said, well, that's how it is. So, you know, there are these different elements in the opposition struggling for control.
Well, so we will keep an eye on that, and you will keep an eye on that for us. But I just want to pivot, if we can, because you've been in Boston for a couple of days. Your NewsHour program today focused on American politics, specifically money's influence on the election. I was so taken with your questions. You kept asking people, well, why are you giving them all this money? Why are you letting them spend all this money? Why not just go to a system where, you know, each candidate gets a certain amount of money? Why can't you have campaign finance control? You seemed really stunned by.
Well, look, it's a huge amount of money. I mean, you know, we have the same issues in the UK. So, I mean, it's to that extent. But the point is that to spend $6 billion, wherever it's going to be, on knocking each other, which, as far as I can work out, I mean, you know, I'm not coming from this in any party angle.
Well, especially since in this country, we're told by analysts that it may all come down to a handful of people in one small town in the Midwest. You know, yeah. You could give them the money.
Sure. Well, is that, I mean, everyone says, yeah, negative advertising works. But, of course, it works in one sense. But it doesn't work in terms of shoring up support for the democracy and political process, does it? I mean, it has a corrosive effect on support for the political process. So, I don't know. As an outsider, just seeing a lot of people giving a lot of money to say that each other are terrible people doesn't seem to be a very productive way of going about business.
Just have a few seconds left, but does the American political system look broken to a Brit?
Well, we all have those issues. I can't do that in 3 seconds.
Okay, I think that was yes. The BBC's Owen Bennett Jones with us in the studios today here in Boston, heading to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right.
With the NewsHour tomorrow, and we so appreciate your spending some time with us. Thanks so much,
it's
Owen.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thanks.
Okay, and this note about tomorrow, we're going to be checking in on Egypt. Presidential elections scheduled for late May. Some candidates have been banned from running. We'll be joined by journalist Thanasis Kambanis. That's tomorrow. Take a break. Be right back here and now.